Project Stop is an initiative launched by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia today, which uses online tracking methods and photo identification to prevent illegal sedephedrine use. Project Stop will use up some of the $380,000 allowance from the federal government to curb illicit drug making. Cold and flu medications are increasingly becoming prescription-only drugs to stop this, but with some industry companies deeming this a huge strain on GPs and Medicare claims, the Pharmacy Guild will implement a computer network tracking system to prevent interstate drug runs by criminals. Pharmacy Guild President Kos Sklavos explains how the initiative was developed.
Well, initially the overlapping software which is developed for other pharmacy applications has been working for about 2 years, but the specific program for monitoring pseudoephedrine-based sales has been piloted in all Queensland pharmacies since November last year, and now with the successful implementation there, we're pleased to announce a national launch today with Attorney Generals, which will be rolled out across every pharmacy across Australia.
Now, I understand that involves keeping track of their cold and flu medication purchases. Will that affect their privacy?
Now, the key thing is that the sale of pseudoephedrine-based products under the quality assurance system will ensure that you need some photographic ID. That occurs already in some jurisdictions, but because obviously pseudoephedrine running is across borders, it knows no borders, and that's why we need to have a federal solution to this. Whether it's some government-issued ID, passport, driver's licence or some other criteria or government public service card, because we need a unique identifier, that is recorded. And therefore, then, if there is a match in the system, where in the particular case of runners, they're using not only legitimate IDs but fake IDs, the system picks that up. And the exciting thing is not only has it led to well over 100 arrests, but also it's got to the source of many of these criminal labs, which is where the source of our problems are in the community. And as our listeners would be well aware, speed is the number one illicit drug used in Australia today. It's higher amounts of that are used than heroin or any other illegal activity. And the difficulty is that consumers have been disadvantaged in that obviously we didn't want to see the situation where the next step was that this product would become prescription only, disadvantaging consumers and costing the government, you know, something like $2 billion in additional MBS or Medicare costs. It's not only Australian first, but a worldwide first, and the Pharmacy Guild has been courted by various authorities overseas in terms of using this software application in their jurisdiction. Just to clarify for our listeners, methamphetamine or speed is a worldwide problem because it's just so affordable as an illicit drug, and this program will go a long way towards stamping out this activity, which, you know, unfortunately preys on our young children and causes huge health costs in the community later on in terms of rehabilitation and helping people get off these products.
Why has the online method been chosen as the best way for pharmacists to receive the information?
Well, the manual systems and recording have been in place for a few years. This tool brings together community pharmacists for the first time across any of the health professionals. There's real-time connectivity between every pharmacy in Australia. So it doesn't say which pharmacies it's been in, but it would identify, for example, if somebody's been to a previous postcode, and therefore then that's a decision support tool that allows the pharmacist to make a judgment whether someone should or shouldn't have access to these pseudoephedrine-based products.
Non-members of the Pharmacy Guild, such as National Pharmacies Australia, argue that a network tracking system isn't necessary and say the good judgment of individual pharmacists is enough. Barry Wilmot, the General Manager of Professional Services at National Pharmacies, discusses the methods his company currently uses.
Some of these pseudoephedrine products are in a schedule called Schedule 3, which means that the products have to be kept in the pharmacy where they're not accessible to customers, and the sale has to be by the pharmacist and it has to be recorded. Now, when the pharmacist records those details, the details are sent to the Department of Health at the end of each month, the patient's name and address, and all of the details that the pharmacist records at the time.
Okay, and what sort of drugs are we looking at? The cold and flu medication, Sudafed, for instance?
Yeah, this is for the Sudafed products. There's Sudafed comes in a Schedule 3, or some of the pseudoephedrine products are now prescription only.
How many purchases can a customer make before it begins to look suspicious?
Look, the pharmacists, when they record the sales, you know, depending on the dosage of the product and how many are in the packet, the pharmacist would make a judgment. You know, if they see the customer coming back in within a couple of days, they would query the dose that the customer's taking. And normally our pharmacists only sell one packet at a time.
Do you feel like the current methods that you've got in place are adequate in stopping criminal activity?
In some cases it's very hard for the pharmacist to distinguish a genuine customer. They have to go through the process and make sure that the customer has a therapeutic need. And in some cases that can be difficult to judge, but it's at the end of the day it's the pharmacist's judgment whether they actually sell the product or not.
Would something like using photographic identification to purchase these products, do you think that would be too extreme?
No. In some cases where the pharmacist doesn't know the patient, they may ask for a photo ID for the patient. But we believe that most of our pharmacists would know their regular customers, and for those customers whom they don't know, they would in some cases ask for a photo ID.